I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite and tear my veins. Never did I wanna be here again, and I don't remember why I came.
And you are tuned in to Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Here are your hosts, Mike, Joni, and Greg. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Midwest Paratalk Radio here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And Joni was late to pick up the phone, hear the ringy dingies. What's up,
well,
guys?
Well, you were late calling, so there.
I know, right?
I can wait to go to bed.
Oh, whatever.
Me too.
Oh, whatever.
I know, I am so tired.
Yeah. Okay. What's going on, guys?
Nothing.
Yeah?
Nothing. Snowing.
Cool. You're going to hear a little bit of the Olympics going on in the background. Just go ahead and disregard that. And the wife coughing. Excuse you, honey.
I've been watching the Olympics. They rock.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Right. I'm ready to build the soundproof studio.
Oh. I do want to say Kurt Smith of Para Investigators Radio here on ASPRN,
right,
and he has Peach State Paranormal too in Georgia. It's in the process right now of becoming a daddy, I guess. And
yes, he is.
We'd like to wish him love and light and white energy and everything he needs.
Very nice.
Since he's a first-time father, and he's really excited.
Aww.
Good for him.
Yep.
Did you hear what I said about him on moonlighting? Okay, I'll say it again. What if,
like, my memory.
What if the baby is, like, bald, too, and, like, this was close to, like, Halloween, and he could get, like, an all-gray suit, and, because, you know, Kurt doesn't have any hair, and the baby wouldn't have any hair, and he could go as Dr. Evil and Mini-Me.
Oh, my.
Oh, come on, dude, that stuff is funny.
Maybe you better ask Denise about that.
Who?
His wife.
She don't care. I already talked to her. She said it was all good.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess if you don't care, I don't care.
She don't care. It's good. It's all good in the hood. That's right.
Oh, and I also want to tell Crystal, thank you so much. Crystal sent me an awesome shirt from her team, which is, here I go, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Society, right?
Yeah, that's right. Northern Kentucky Paranormal Society.
Got it right.
Society.
Right. First time. And it's awesome.
Where's my shirt, damn it?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Where's my shirt, damn it?
Oh, God.
Crystal, and I'm kicking your ass.
Anyway, the design on it is kind of weird because the design on it matches our business cards.
Oh, no way.
So her and I have the same taste.
That's scary. I don't know that I can deal with that.
Well, it's good taste there.
Right on.
Did you ever get Greg a shirt from Mars?
No.
What did you say, Mike?
You ever get Greg a shirt from EVPI?
No.
No, but I got him shirts for him.
Well, maybe I want an EVPI shirt.
Well, that's going to be a problem because, okay, when I went in to get those last ones and they tried to look mine up, it's not on the, they don't have it. So we're going to have a new design anyway.
No way.
Swear to God, yeah, because they're like, you want for you? And I'm like, no, I want these for somebody else. And they said, well, that's good because we can't find you on here. So I'm like, oh,
holy
okay.
God. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah. Okay, well, I guess I'll have to design a new logo.
I guess so. But
and then give me a shirt. You know, because if I could,
man, on my list.
I would wear nothing but paranormal shirts everywhere.
I've got a bunch because usually I get one for everybody I know.
We need
to wear them, too.
Yeah, I would like to... Well, we'll have to talk about the PQP stuff, because I'd like to get some of those made up, too.
Oh, no.
So, we'll talk about that as well. What else is going on?
That's it. We're just waiting on snow again.
Oh, my God. You know how tired I am of snow?
You're waiting. We're snowing down here like crazy.
Really?
We have nothing, Mike. Nothing.
Ugh.
And it's scary, because, you know.
I woke up at 6 inches this morning. Nothing. And then... They'd probably put another 2 inches down so far since about 8 o'clock.
I think it's going to get here before too long and after midnight. And we did go to school after a delay this morning, so we're about the only ones in the whole county that did.
Yeah,
it's just I've had it.
Then they canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kept ours. So. But anyway, that's about it. And we got Brandon Alves tonight.
Brandon Alves from Stop Dog. That's my hand. Okay. I'm sitting here and I'm doing
Stop
this
Dog,
and
that's my hand.
I'm watching the chat. I'm doing it. And the dog's licking my hand. I'm like, geez, come on, man. But yeah, Apra Paranormal. They're from the west side of the United States, and they primarily do historic haunts. And there's a couple links, and I'll get it posted up on the website. I got to do some website work this weekend. But put that up, and you guys, I'm gonna link it on the website because where was it that he was?
He sent me videos from YouTube from Linda Vista Hospital.
Right, right.
And that's why I did our history tonight on that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And I think the other one was from Wolf Manor out there with Scott Grimwald, and it was. Wow. I mean, the videos were just, they always do good work. And Brandon's been a friend of the show since we started last February. And the EVPs and stuff that he's gotten, I mean, he sent us, last time he was on the show, sent us EVPs from the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Mm-hmm.
And Joni and I, after the show, were Googling the Axe Murder House and was coming up with stuff and talking. I mean, that's how hard the EVPs hit. And I might try. I've got it in my files too. I'm gonna put all the EVPs and the show stuff up on the website as well. And so everybody can go out and listen to the EVPs from the groups and all that good jazz. I'm also going to make a page since we're talking about the website for MidwestParaTalkRadio.com. I will put up a page that has all of the audio commercials that I have in stock right now for download. Hello, Kitty. That was funny. Hello, Kitty. And so if anyone needs, you know, commercials or promos or anything like that that have already been made for their shows on the SPRN network, they can just go ahead, right-click, save link, and be able to use the audio. One other quick thing, I want to say hi to everybody out in the chat room, asprn.com/studiob.html. If you guys are listening to the archive page of MidwestParaTalkRadio.podomatic.com, Thursday nights, come on over, hang out with us in the chat room. We start here at NPR at 10 Eastern. And come on over, hang out with us. But I want to thank you guys for all the downloads and support and page views and everything that you guys do for us on the archives. You guys rule. One other thing I was going to talk about. Oh, not to mention any names, but how can you call yourself? I need to get Brandon on the line here too. But how can you call yourself helping somebody when you charge them?
What brought that up?
Just have just something.
There's something brought that up.
Yeah, something that kind of burned my butt, and I'm just wondering. And I'm not going to mention any names, and I'm not going to say why I brought it up. It's just something that stuck with me. But how can you call yourself in the field to help people when you charge them?
No, I don't think you can, really.
You know, that's kind of where I was going with that too, there, Mike. But you know, that's just me. I mean, you know. Yeah, so we'll talk about that some more sometime soon as well, because I'm sure there's a soapbox waiting for somebody to jump up on.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, trying to think of what brought that on and so forth and so on. And
yeah.
What was the precipitating factor in that little statement there, that question?
Yeah,
because I know how you feel. I know we all pretty much feel about that, I think.
Right, you don't charge to help people, man.
You just don't do it.
So check it out. It's about 10:15. We're going to do a couple commercials, come back with a haunted history. And then we're going to get Brandon Alves on from Apra Paranormal here on Midwest Paratalk Radio. You guys, thanks for joining us tonight. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Crystal from Northern Kentucky Paranormal Society. We first brought you Paranormal Outreach Radio, and now we're bringing you Paranormal Outreach Television. Paranormal Outreach Television is a brand new show that involves you. That's right, you. Our goal is to reach out to the public to help us, as well as yourself, in the paranormal mysteries. Our new outlook into the highly popular paranormal TV shows is to bring a fresh mind to maybe unlock some of the great mysteries of the paranormal. So pack your stuff, open your mind, and join us on some of our most intense upcoming cases. There will be a screening process that has to be completed by all applicants. This is to ensure the safety of not only our group and property owners, but the applicants as well. And you must be 18 years of age or older to apply. Those wishing to be considered for this position, please email Matt at matt@nkyps.com or myself, Crystal, at christel@nkyps.com. Look forward to working with you guys soon.
Hey, this is the crew from Banshees in the G-Spot on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered who works behind the scenes on a cold case? Would you like to see cold cases done before a live studio audience? Loved ones who have passed on speak from the spiritual realm, giving the answers needed. The Psychic Justice Tour with Robbie Thomas will do just that. This venue is like nothing you've seen before. Given police endorsements throughout North America, Robbie brings his unique ability to give the correct information to police and families to help solve crimes.
Here's what some have to say about the Psychic Justice Tour. Phantom Magazine, Robert Thomas can be best described with a few simple words, intense and extremely accurate. Don't miss out on the Psychic Justice Tour. Ghost Radio Network, emotional, inspiring, and provocative to see Robbie in action. There's a true angel among us. Visions Magazine, there's only one Robbie Thomas. This is a rare opportunity you simply do not want to miss.
Check out Robbie Thomas at www.robbiethomas.net and don't miss out on the Psychic Justice Tour.
Yeah, don't miss out on that Psychic Justice Tour.
Okay, Mr. G-Spot.
Yeah, we were doing that.
Do you know what a G-Spot is?
Huh?
Do you know what a G-Spot is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Just wondering.
Well, you know, it
anatomy lesson. It's an anatomy lesson.
Right. It's fitting, though,
it's
don't you think?
Physiology, female physiology 101.
Right, but it's fitting. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting. To say the least.
I had Brandon up, told him we're running a little bit late. Hold on. He was like,
this is only three pages. It won't take that long.
Oh, no, that's cool. He said, take your time. No worries. And he's good to go. So what we're going to do, we're going to kick out the haunted history and with Joni from Midwest Prayer Talk Radio. So let me cue up a little tunage, eh?
Yeah, okay.
Take off, eh? Sorry, eh? Sorry, Olympics and stuff, eh? So anyway, here we go.
Love you. Okay, Linda Vista Hospital was established in 1904 as a healthcare facility for the servicing of Santa Fe Railroad employees. It was built in the Boyle Heights neighborhood of L.A. and was originally named the Santa Fe Coastline Hospital and was enlarged in 1924. Several other enlargements followed throughout the decades, and it was renamed Linda Vista Community Hospital in 1937. During all this time, the hospital's reputation was stellar, but due to the Great Depression and World War II, it faced a reversal of fortune, as did the entire area of East L.A. Once an affluent region, people began to move out. Funding was cut for the facility, and the escalation of violent crimes contributed to a reduction in staff, and the hospital's death toll rose dramatically. When the 1970s and 80s gang wars of East L.A. began to send countless victims to Linda Vista's ER and trauma center, the survival rate again got worse, as did the staffing. Linda Vista managed to stay afloat through the 80s, but the quality of care continued to decline as doctors moved to more affluent and safer hospitals. Poor and uninsured patients also took its toll in finances, forcing the ER to stop accepting ambulance patients in 1988. The last patient signed out in 1991, and the hospital's doors were locked. Since the many stories are passed on... Oh, wait a minute. Since the many stories are passed on an unusually high death rate, and its use as the extended care facility nursing home in its last years was due to abuse and mistreatment of patients. It was recognized on the National Register of Historic Places in 2006 and now is a filming location only, even with its rapid deterioration. Several shows and movies have been filmed at Linda Vista. It was during the time that production employees and security guards began to report unexplained phenomena. Claims of hauntings include past patients and medical staff, which is understandable if hauntings occur from traumatic events. Numerous reports of darting shadows, disembodied voices in the night, and unexplained humming sound are some of the observations. Others have been instances of being touched and shoved, and three spirits have been sighted consistently. A little girl in a surgical suite, an orderly making his rounds, and a woman spirit who paces the hallways of a third floor. Francis Cortegas, who has managed the hospital for the last 20 years and schedules of numerous film shoots, has admitted to some strange occurrences at the old hospital. The most puzzling incident occurred in 1995 when he was in a surgical suite and the thing turned on by itself. Another bizarre happening took place when he was alone on the third floor around 6 a.m. He heard a printer running and saw the light under a closed door. When he noticed that the person he assumed was in that office was not there that day, he put his own key into the lock to open the door, at which point all noise and activity immediately stopped. In between filming crews, Linda Vista is available for paranormal investigations, and many groups have posted data on the web from their time in the facility. For more info, check lindavistalocation.com. And that is this week's Historic Haunting.
Right on. I'm glad you went ahead and started clarifying the end of that, because we're waiting for more, and then you're like, okay, it's done. I'm like, okay. Sorry, Joni. Don't.
Oh, gee. I'm sorry. Y'all have to remember that.
I have to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's funny. Crystal's out there in the chat room going, we need to have an ASPRN investigation, dang it.
Well, you guys kind of did.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it wasn't everybody. I would definitely like to
get... You'd have to meet in the center of the country, kind of.
Yeah, you know. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, hopefully we can get something set up where you and Mike can come back out and with us and get Crystal and Serenity and KJ and everybody else, NKYPS, all them fellers and lady and all that good jazz.
Fellers.
So, fellers, that's right.
Fellers.
Right.
Can you draw the noise at my house tonight?
That's okay. We got the Olympics on in the background that's bleeding over into the
mic.
Oh,
I tell ya.
So it's all good in the neighborhood because we've got APRA Paranormal lead investigator founder Brandon Alves coming on with us. I'm going to go ahead and connect him now. You'll hear a little ringy dingy. That's like being at the doctor, right? You're going to feel a little pinch here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to feel a little shot to the eyeball, Doc.
Hello?
Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Yeah, Greg, how you doing?
Hey,
you
buddy, doing, what's going on?
Yeah, we're doing just fine.
Oh, great to hear that. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, anytime, man. You know that.
Well, thank you, guys. You guys are great.
Oh,
thanks. Yeah, my brother, he's joined us, too. Mike, this is Brandon. Alice.
Hi. Hi,
he's
Brandon.
Also on here, too, with us, Brandon.
Hello, Mike. Nice to meet you.
So, yeah. So, what in the hem-haw heck is going on out there, buddy?
Oh, man, just continuing the research, just trying to collect as much data as possible.
Right. Yeah, we, Joni shot over the links for the YouTube videos. Those are, those are mind blowing, dude. Honestly.
Yeah, well, they got a channel. There's all kind of video on there, folks, on YouTube.
Yeah, well, recently in 2010, we've been releasing a lot of stuff. We've been filming the last year in 2009, and alongside with a lot of evidence that we've collected that we've had reviewed by professionals that remains to be explained, and, you know, it's our job to release it to the public to see, you know, draw your own conclusions from it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you do most of your investigation with, high-tech equipment, or are you more, because our group's more spiritual, we use crystals and dowsing rods and things.
Right.
We don't do a whole lot of filming. So, do you do a lot more filming than...
Yes, we rely on the scientific principles, not meaning that we don't take the spiritual aspect into account. Like I always say, everyone in the field has something to offer from every walk of life, every aspect. You know, not everyone has it right, and, you know, everyone has something right, everyone has something wrong. Mm-hmm. But we do rely on the scientific principle. But we have worked with psychics before and have touched on the spiritual aspects as well. And I think that, you know, at times it's necessary to have, you know, incorporated into an investigation.
Right.
Well, Brandon, you kind of got into it for a spiritual, kind of a spiritual reason, didn't you?
Right.
In the first place?
Yeah.
If you want to go into it briefly, because I know my brother doesn't know, but that's up to you.
Yeah. You know, in 1995, I lost my first brother to cancer, my oldest brother. And that kind of set me off on, you know, thinking if there's a possible existence of a life after death at such a young age. Didn't really have anyone to relate to at that young of an age. And, you know, I always had that question in my mind. All the way up until 2004, I was a junior in high school, and my second brother, my middle brother, committed suicide, and that really kind of sent me off on my journey, if you will, to trying to collect data of a possible existence of a life after death.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. And, you know, you've done some pretty high-profile places in your investigations. You sent over three EVPs for us to play tonight, and we'll get to get those here in a little bit. But like I was saying earlier in the intro, that you guys primarily do historic haunts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, and I know you were filming a series that was out on your website for a long time. Are you guys still in the process of doing that as well?
Yes, we are. We're still in the process of filming the series. We're on the second series. We have released two locations so far, two never-before-investigated historical locations. The first one was the Brackenfern Manor up in Lake Arrowhead, California. It was the hideout of Bugsy Siegel, once called Club Arrowhead of the Pines. All the rich, posh, famous from Los Angeles used to come up, gamble, brothels, you name it, anything illegal activity-wise, they were conducting it. We had a really great opportunity to get into the former brothel that was Club Arrowhead of the Pines, and we did film that for our first segment. We also have released segment two, which is highlighting the Meek Estate, located in Hayward, California. A unknown historical location. They don't even know who built the place. They don't have blueprints.
Oh,
they have
wow.
no documentation of who built the building. They know that William Meek had it built and lived there, until around the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. But as far as a construction date, as far as blueprints, as far as an architect, they have no idea. And that's yet again another place that we've had the opportunity to be the first to get in. And we did collect some pretty significant data in that location.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Wow. I wonder what happened to all the, stuff.
Exactly. I mean, it's something the Historical Society there, the Hayward Area Historical Society, cannot find. They've been researching it for I'm coming up on 20-some-odd years now.
Oh, my
God. And they have no idea. And they're at the point now where they're trying to match up buildings in the East Coast to see if there's any similarities. I mean, it's a very, very unusual house for California. Very main style architecture. Very, it has a widow's walk, which is kind of odd, being it's by the ocean, but it's a significant distance away from the ocean. So, I mean, I think that there are some secrets that are lying in the East Coast somewhere, and I'm sure that the architect that built that also built something similar to it here in the United States.
Wow, that's cool. That's really a mystery. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Can you say this is where?
This is in Hayward, California. It's just outside of Oakland.
Okay. You want to look at that.
So what is the furthest distance you've traveled to actually do an investigation?
He's been to Prospect, Mike.
Yes, that would probably be the farthest so far. We've been to Ohio. It would be the farthest.
Okay. Well, you'll have to.
Locations.
You'll have to come back, and when you do, you'll have to let us know. We'll come and visit.
Oh, definitely. We would love to get back out there, and be great to have you guys out on an investigation with us. It'd be a lot of fun.
It would be.
So what did you think of Prospect?
It was a fantastic location. I mean, I'm a huge history buff. Another one of the reasons I joined and got involved in the field. And I mean, gosh, one of the stops on the Underground Railroad, I mean, I was sold right then. As far as, George Adams, who owns the place, great man. They, it's just a great atmosphere. Fantastic location, and there is some very odd things taking place. I mean, in my experiences of being in the building, I had my experiences, and the data we collected was in the ballroom. And it was just a fantastic location. And, any chance I have to get back out there, I'm more than willing to do so.
Right. I think that's pretty much where I had the experiences, other than sitting in the basement by myself.
Mm-hmm.
The ballroom seems to be the most active room when we go as well, at least for me.
Well, I know, sitting downstairs, I saw the red light. Another red orb or the red round thingy, and it was probably less than 6 inches from the ceiling when it stopped and then shot up the hall, and it was free floating.
Wow.
Yeah. We had the light plug itself in.
Right.
Yeah, we never did figure that out. That was just
right.
That's one of the things that went past, and we didn't even know until it was over. And then we're like, what happened?
And then after that, after we kind of got back out and did a little bit more investigating, we went upstairs right before we started wrapping it up, and was in the ballroom. And as we walked up, there was a, you know how they had the balls and the toys and stuff upstairs. Joni and I stood there for probably 10 minutes and watched this ball move back and forth. I mean, wow. It was still in the same spot, but you could see it vibrating and rocking, and it was just like, wow, that is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yes, indeed. That was a good night. We had a good time.
So
had some interesting experiences.
That we did, because all of the radio show equipment wouldn't work.
No.
Yeah, we got out there, and we got everything set up and started to get ready to broadcast, and nothing would work. And I get home, I have to reload all of the drivers for all the equipment back into the computer. They were nowhere to be found.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yeah, it was messed up. So
yeah, it was a little frustrating, but we just, we tried. We'll just go investigate and whatever.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Messed around with it for a good, 20, 25 minutes. It was like, mm-hmm. Okay, we're done. Let's go investigate.
Yeah. <know?
laughs> We have three EVPs that you sent over to us. And,
where are they from?
No, I started to go into it, and I get this, like, cheesy commercial, Procter & Gamble. Sorry about that. The EVPs that we got from you were from
Linda Vista Hospital.
Right.
And a location entitled Rancho Camuyos here in California as well.
Right. Okay. Now, I want to play these, and I want you guys to listen to them. But the funny thing, when I listened to them, I didn't have to listen hard. And that's
before you played, Brandon, did you clean those up at all, or are they?
No. That is raw audio.
They're awesome. They are awesome.
They are.
Thank you. Yeah, it was both locations very active. I mean, Linda Vista Community Hospital, I mean, basically speaks for itself.
Yeah.
I mean, virtually any hospital is going to have most likely some type of activity with you know, being a hospital, the lives lost in the building. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the EVPs are as they were collected. There's no enhancement or audio manipulation at all.
Well, they are awesome, and you guys really, the background, there's no background noise. It's just, I'm just amazed.
Yeah, it's super clear.
I mean, they're just awesome.
Right, and it was just like the Axe Murder House EVP.
Oh, my God,
that you
yeah.
sent to us that was so clear. And you guys, you pull excellent audio. I mean, is
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, is there any particular reason, do you think, that you get that? Or you just, you know, you got the luck of the draw when you're doing the EVPs, or...
No, I think it has to do with a little of both. I think particularly it has to do with some of my background in sound engineering and working in sound recording and music production for a lot of years.
Yeah.
On top of just, you know, what's worked with us is just treating them as, like people. I mean, these are people that are still in these buildings, still there for a reason. And when we go in with that approach, just giving as much respect as possible,
right. It
seems to work. I mean, they seem to speak back a lot of the time. So, I mean, I would say a lot of it has to do with the background of my profession as well as luck and the way
those
that
are just
we are
two good qualities because, yeah, and I do truly believe that they, if you go in like you guys go in and like we always try to go in, you do get more results because, I don't know, I guess they just, like you say, they want to treat, if they were people at one time, that's the way they want to be treated too. So, you know.
Exactly.
Right. So I tell you what, we'll go ahead and rock and roll with the Linda Vista EVPs from Apra Paranormal. And this first one is the, I hate to give the actual name of the EVP because I kind of want you to set it up.
Okay,
we'll play it and then we'll talk about it. What do you say?
Okay, perfect.
All right, this is what we'll do. Hold on, guys. Here it comes.
How are you associated with the hospital?
All right, now I'm on. What we normally do when we do EVPs, we play them twice so you guys can definitely hear them. If you need to turn up your headsets at home, do that. But here we go one more time. This is from Linda Vista Hospital. So hold on.
How are you associated with the hospital?
All right. So,
okay, could you guys hear that in the chat room?
Yeah, they'll tell us here in a second. But Brendan, go ahead and give us a background on that. What were you guys doing? Where were you at? What kind of situation was going on? Like background story.
Definitely. We were in the underground tunnels in the basement, towards the underground tunnels in the basement of Linda Vista Community Hospital. We had just left the former mental asylum, and we were conducting some investigation with Mark and Debbie Constantino and Brian from Los Angeles Paranormal Association. We decided to stick his seat in the hallway just down the hall from the old morgue.
Uh-huh.
And we all took a seat, and we all started conducting an EVP session. And Linda, one of our investigators, just asked, actually Debbie Constantino asked, how are you associated with the hospital, when we did receive that response. The very interesting thing about that particular instance was just before that, I was sitting in the stairwell. I mean, I've been doing this, you know, for about 5 years now, and I have, you know, maybe a handful of personal experiences. But what I experienced at Linda Vista Community Hospital in that stairwell is unlike anything I have experienced to date. I was sitting in the stairwell. I began to hear shuffling behind me. I turned my head into the doorway, and I hear something breathe in my ear, very, very deep, very long, very drawn out. Sounded like someone with almost a lung infection. Very.
Oh, wow.
I almost felt the breath on my neck.
Right.
I mean, I felt a very odd energy just adjacent to my head. And 15 minutes after that, we headed down that stairwell, went to a hallway, and we collected that audio.
Holy cow. Mm. Yeah, there's nothing quite like getting the whisper in the ear or the hair on the back of your neck standing up.
Right.
You know, that's just enough to make you pee your pants.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, right? All right, now we're going to play this second EVP that was sent over. And this is Linda Vista Hospital as well. And I'll go ahead and get that going. We'll play it two times, and then we'll let Brendan tell us a little bit about it in the background. So you guys crank it up. Listen in.
Is there anyone here with you? Is there anyone here with you?
Okay. Yeah, and Crystal in the chat room, she put it out there right away. So, okay, if you guys had problems hearing it, the EVP said just us after they were asked, you know, is there anyone else here with us? So
that was very clear. Very clear.
Yeah, I think Crystal got that one.
Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm. So Brendan,
did you hear him?
Huh?
She's like me. I'm like, oh, I don't know what I heard.
That was clear, though. That was,
yeah, that was totally clear.
Yeah, definitely. So what was going on with this one, Brendan?
We were actually in the former mental ward in Linda Vista Community Hospital on the second floor. It was myself, Michael Rudy, one of our investigators, Bridget O'Dean, and Linda Casebolt. And Linda just started walking down the hall when she asked, if there's anyone else there with them,
mm-hmm.
and they received that response, just us.
Nice. Now I wish I had I don't know what I was thinking today, but I wish I'd have still pulled in that the Valeska House one as well, because I don't know that all of our listeners actually heard that one, but we'll do that some next time you're on. We'll pull that one back in. But
definitely.
Here's the last one, and like I said, what we'll do, we'll go and play it twice, so everybody can hear it, and then we'll have a little background after the EVP. So here we go.
That they felt that was in charge. That they felt that was in charge.
Now, man, I don't know what it is, but every EVP that you send me, it seems like it's like, oh, wow. You know, God, and that particular one, he has my son.
Yeah,
is what is said. And is there a backstory? Was there someone that, you know, was kidnapped? Was it, what was the deal with that?
very interesting you bring that up, because we're going to go back to something we talked about earlier as far as the spiritual aspects concerned. This was at Rancho Camuyos in Piru, California. We had the opportunity to get into one of California's largest historical landmarks with Robert Ladarsky, a very prominent writer in the field, and he actually invited us on an investigation with the San Diego Ghost Hunters and International Paranormal Research Organization. And you know, we were guests in their investigation. They conduct their investigations from a spiritual aspect, mm-hmm. and you know, we're completely for that. We're all about the unity and collaboration as far as any part of the field is concerned. And we were there with them, and we did a walkthrough prior to the investigation where people went around and got psychic impressions. Mm-hmm. We were with a group of about 8 or 9 different psychics. Excuse me. And one of the interesting things about this EVP is in that room where that audio was collected, there was one of the psychics was mentioning how she felt there was a man there that was in charge, very very in charge. He ran the place, and he was you know, didn't like anyone in his area. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Rancho Camuyos was it was founded originally by the it was originally an Indian community. The Spanish during the Inquisition, the missions came through. They took the village. They put the Indians into slavery. They made the Indians build their village and basically use them as slaves there on out. Mm-hmm. And they believed that they were picking up on a man that was in charge of foreseeing the building of Rancho Camuyos and watching over the slaves. So us getting that information, Linda Casel returned to that room later that night and asked a question about the man that was in charge. Is there a man there that was in charge? And we received the answer, he has my son.
Wow.
Hmm. So we can speculate, I mean, that very possible that he was the person who foresaw all the slaves, and there's very strong chance that that man did have that person's son at one time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, see, wow. That, yeah, I mean, what really is rough is that, you know, you can only go at this point by, you know, by what you were told in the EVP. I mean, it would have been really cool to be able to have documentation, and I know, you know, on a researcher standpoint, that's just harder than I'll get out to do, but I mean, to have some kind of backing to say, yeah, you know, that was the story,
right?
You know, here it is documented, and so yeah, that's just crazy. So, you know, what other, you know, historical landmarks and haunts have you been on and your team has done?
Recently, we've been investigating Clovis Avenue Sanatorium, also known as Wolf Manor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Clovis, California.
Mm-hmm.
A very active location. We actually had the chance to go back here not too long ago, and we did conduct another investigation, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. We did collect some very significant data there that we will be releasing here in coming months. We also just did Rancho Camuyos, like we said. We did the Meek Estate recently. Also, the McConaughey Estate, which is another location that's under the care of the Hayward Area Historical Society. Mm-hmm. Back in December, we did conduct a fundraiser for them called Voices of the Past.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have a good turnout for that, raised a good amount of money for the Historical Society. And, you know, as of late, we've been sticking around California, just working on some of the cases we've had going for a while. Mm-hmm. But we do have a trip planned coming up here in 2010 where we will be getting back into the Midwest and most likely the East Coast.
Nice.
Wow, that's great.
Now, you'll definitely have to keep in touch and see if we can't maybe try to get out that way and meet up and talk and maybe even try like a live remote or something again.
Again?
Yeah.
You know, if something doesn't happen and all the software disappears.
Right. Well, where are you planning to hit, Brandon? You got any place in particular that you're thinking about, or out
there? Definitely. I mean, Liv Mansion has been a place that I have been
yeah.
to previously.
Okay.
I've been there before. I have never conducted an investigation there. I have entered the building and just kind of looked around. Liv Mansion is a place that I plan on, you know, hitting and trying to conduct some research, as well as revisiting.
That's Missouri. It's Missouri.
What was that? Yeah, Missouri.
Is it in Missouri?
Yeah, okay. St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I also plan on revisiting the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
That's where they had the doctor?
Yes, Norman Baker, where he committed his atrocities and claiming that he had a cure for cancer, brought thousands up. Basically just used them for money, and at times would have these patients die on him, would not tell the family that they have died, keep collecting money while he would take the body and burn it down in the incinerator.
Oh my God.
That place is active. We've been there before. We have collected data, and it's definitely a significant point of interest.
Now, does your team pull – I know we talked about this in our last show too, but, I mean, is it common for your team to pull EVPs and, you know, whatever else prior to you even investigating? Now, you know, going in, doing a walkthrough, does it seem like, you know, it's hot and ready to go right when you get there? There have been investigations that, you know, just like everyone knows, ghosts don't want to come out and play all at the same time.
Right.
So, I mean, does it seem like, you know, you guys get quite a bit of evidence when there's not recorders going on?
You know, we have had instances where we have done walkthroughs and have entered the building and activities started right away. But I would say probably 70% of the investigations that we've conducted, we have either had no activity or very little activity. And that's over an 8, 9, 10-hour span.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
Have you ever thought about doing the Moundsville Pen?
Definitely. That's another place that I would like to conduct research. A lot of data has been collected up to this date, and, you know, I'd like to get a chance myself to go there and see what I can experience, definitely.
Yeah, we are talking about trying to get that in May. Because we were going to, Greg was going to come in, I think, and some people up from southern Ohio and Kentucky and try to get that place to ourselves one night
in
May.
Fantastic.
It's what we're hoping, yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
I know.
I'm working on it.
But,
yeah, I was in there one time, but we didn't really do any investigating because we weren't really into it yet, but it's quite a place.
That was the first place I had my very first personal experience, like with the breathing, and I actually was touched in the back of my neck while in the hole. They used to open up and just have personal tours, and they get through and they tell you the stories or whatever. But they will put you down in the hole and shut the door and turn off the lights and leave you in there by yourself. And that was the first time that I ever had something like touch me or have that big of an experience. Yeah, it was pretty creepy.
Now, have you ever had a oh crap moment, Brandon? Like something that had scared you so bad or startled you so bad, it's just like, ugh, I got to go check my drawers.
Yeah, I actually just recently in September, I went to Alcatraz with Mark and Debbie Constantino and an array of other investigators. There was quite a few of us there. We did an overnight. And I was actually in the infirmary ward in the former mental cells. There's only a couple. And I just entered that room, and I set up a Mel meter. And as you know, it gives off that green luminescent light. And I was conducting an EVP session. And I guess I wasn't aware at the time, but I was asking a very disrespectful question. I did ask, did you used to come here to get away from your cell? And as I said that, I had something that looked like a black hand jump right out in front of my face, and I jumped back about 20 feet and hit the wall, and I was like, I got to leave the room for a while.
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would kind of startle you a little.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I wasn't aware that the question was disrespectful until I walked downstairs. And one of the ladies that was with us was a former probation officer, and she said that you basically just told him he can't handle his block and that he can't really handle being on Alcatraz.
Right.
And I guess he just wanted to show me that he could handle it.
Yeah, because I never even thought of that either. Yeah, you're just in a different environment. If they're still there and they were in that environment and you're in your environment, I guess you got to be careful. Be careful.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wow. there's something.
Right.
Exactly, exactly. You gotta always be careful what you say and what, you know, according to what location you're in.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you know, you never would honestly think about that. You know?
Right.
I mean, no, honestly, I wouldn't have.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have either. But, you know, when you sit back and you think about it, it's like, yeah, okay, you're basically calling him a punk.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, you're in a pretty violent... Those people had done a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I could have been, you know, virtually face-to-face with a murderer for all I know.
Yeah,
most definitely.
So, hottest spots so far that you have found, you know, prisons versus... you know, regular haunts. I mean, which do you find more ominous? I mean, of course, the prisons with the bars and the gang, but as far as a spirit, paranormal evidence type location.
Ooh, I would, you know, have to go with the standard hospitals and sanatoriums,
mm-hmm.
Former convalescent homes, anything to do with a medical type of background.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about these places, but people seem to just stick around.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when it comes
to... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. When you know, when it comes to places like a convalescent home or a former sanitarium, you have elderly people that do have dementia. They do have mental problems as far as they can't even take care of themselves and aren't really aware of the reality they're in. If they die, if they pass, how are they going to know they passed?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and that's what I was going to say, because some of them already, well, most of them actually, are already so confused that
exactly.
they don't know what year it is, they don't recognize their family, and, you know, it's sad to think that they would die and retain that.
Exactly.
You know? But I think that's what happens.
Exactly, and a perfect example of that was when we were up at Wolf Manor. I was in an area of the manor that had all the medical records. From when mm-hmm. it was ran as Clovis Avenue Sanitarium and the convalescent
home. They're still in there?
At one point. Yes, they still have
wow.
all the medical records. Very
oh,
interesting.
Huh.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been down and I pick up one of the papers and one of the names on there was Harry Perkins. And I started
mm-hmm.
reading his report and they were talking about how he can't take care of himself. He would wet himself. He would smear feces on himself. He could not take care of himself. He was virtually out of his mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started asking. I said, "Oh, you know, is there a Harry here?" And as soon as I said that, I caught a voice saying, "My name isn't Harry."
Oh,
but
wow.
there's just an
oh,
example
wow.
of actual documentation of a person that really was basically left in this place to die.
Mm-hmm.
They could not take care of themselves. They had no family. They had no possessions. And I mean, who's to say that when they did pass, when they did make that ultimate transition, how would they know?
Right.
And that's the thing I believe with that Peter James believed was as you were in life, as you are in death. So I mean,
yeah.
it's a very great possibility that at that time that they were fully aware.
Now, I was just watching a paranormal investigation show from back in 2006 is actually when it aired, and they were doing recreations. Do you guys do recreations like, I don't know, running a certain machine or you know, simulating, you know, action?
Oh, you mean from that period, something would have happened when they were there?
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
We have conducted an investigation like that. It really depends on the location.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Hello? It sounds like we've lost everybody. Let's try calling everybody back here again. Gotta love the Skype, right? Hold on, let's get a little tunage going on while we do this. So you guys stick around. You're with Midwest Paratalk Radio here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
I'm back. Yes, Skype dropped.
Oh, my gosh. That was kind of freaky. How Mike getting back with us? Let's get Mike back on. That looks like my whole internet dropped and came back.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, buddy.
Yeah, I was getting buffering, so.
Huh.
Yeah, it kind of shut off on me there.
I wonder if Comcast is having problems tonight. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, well, we probably.
Right, exactly. So, you know, we were talking before Skype took a poop on us about doing period-type simulations to try to get a little bit more paranormal activity, and you were saying that it depended on the place.
Right.
For your guy, yeah.
Right. We did conduct something very similar to that at Linda Vista Community Hospital. We did send Michael Rudy, one of our field investigators, who does work in the medical industry as a transporter. He had full scrubs and a doctor's mask.
I saw him. I saw that.
Yeah. And we did send him into the operation suite. And during that time, we did collect some data that was referring to him directly as being a doctor.
Hmm. Yeah, because he was like, I'm a doctor, and I'm here to help people. Does anybody need help? And
right.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Yeah, and that did, in that specific location, did kick up some type of activity. And it seemed to work in that specific instance.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So one thing I did want to ask you about, I mean, we've talked to you a couple times now and saw the videos and stuff, but let's talk a little bit about your group. The members in the group, kind of where they came into the picture, what they do, and give them a little bit of props here on NPR.
Definitely. Well, so I'll go ahead and start with Bridget O'Dean and Linda Casebolt. They were both two members that I actually met through our first event that we hosted up in Heritage Junction Park for the Santa Clarita Valley Historical Society. Mm-hmm. They were attendees of the event, and I really liked their investigation style and their drive to collect data, and we did bring them along on multiple investigations after that, and they are now a continuing investigators in APRA. And Bridget, she's our executive director of research and our photographer. All the photos you do see on our website have been taken by Bridget. Linda, she's our case manager and has a lot of experience in business and business management. And she brings a whole new aspect, as well as Bridget, to this group. They both bring a lot to the table and severely help us. Bridget's husband, Larry O'Dean, has worked in the film industry for a lot of years now, and he's a mechanical engineer, and he's one of the people that does help us review our evidence. He's our evidence analyst, and he's one of the people that are in our panel when it comes to reviewing our audio and our video. Anything that we find unexplainable, we ship it down to them because they're the professionals. We only know so much to a certain extent, and these guys have worked in the field in technical industries, and they can be of assistance in providing information. Michael Rudy has been a good friend of mine since freshman in high school. He was one of those guys I grew up with that was the only friend I had that had an interest in the paranormal. And I always remember me and him at a younger age always saying, man, we're going to get involved in the field one day, and we're gonna go out and try and collect data. And we're doing that today.
Nice.
Joey West, our tech manager, he's another friend of mine who growing up never really had the interest in the paranormal, but always had the technical aspect, always been really good with computers, basically getting hands-on and really fixing anything. And he had an experience of his own not too long ago, about 3 years ago, and that really pushed him to start working with us.
Very cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a great bunch.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah. Everyone brings something to
the table.
You've
got everything addressed, I think. You know, whatever needs done, you've got somebody to address it.
Exactly. We've been very fortunate to have some great individuals come into this organization, and the thing that really brings it all together is everyone has the same drive and everyone has the same common goal, and it's just a really great working unit.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I saw, is it Bridget? I saw some of her, is that who does photography?
Yes.
I just saw some pictures, just pictures. I mean, not paranormal, just pictures.
Right.
She does beautiful work.
Yes, she's fantastic.
I'm sorry, Mike, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to ask Brandon, do you say, like, if our group would go find, you know, we're out in an investigation and we have an EVP that we have questions on, now do you, like, could we send you something and get your opinion on it? I mean, do you do that? There's a lot of groups won't. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, definitely. We're willing to give our opinion if you like it or not.
Right.
But you know, yeah, we are always willing to take a look at anything. I mean, any form of data is, you know, is something we want to see, and try and, you know, help people in trying to collect more real data. Or if it is something that's a false positive, we might be able to tell you that. You know, we've been fortunate with our stance and people we've met in the not in the field, but people we've met from technical industries like Larry O'Dean, Ed Marg, these guys that have worked as engineers, and you know, they give us a realistic aspect into the paranormal field. And yeah, we're always willing to take a look at anything that's sent to us.
Yeah, Mike, I sent him a picture from Prospect Place Barn, and I think you saw it. And it was a double exposure digital.
Right.
Which I had never seen a double exposure digital before. And I'm like, man, but that makes sense. You know, if your shutter speed is that slow.
Right.
Or the, whatever, yeah. And it was, because it looked like an awesome picture, but it was a double exposure.
That's one that burned.
And that's how it goes sometimes.
Oh, yeah, quite often.
Yep. Quite often, you're right.
You know, I didn't even think about it, but that's a good idea. Brandon, I have a picture that I got from Mansfield. And I'm going to send it your way here in just a little bit and see what you see on it.
Definitely.
Yeah, because...
the green one?
Yeah, yeah, the green picture.
Okay, I'm interested.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, so... And right beforehand is where I got an EVP that... was kind of interesting as well, because it fell into, and this is what's cool, it fell into the history of the room. It was actually the commissary, and the history was that there was an inmate that was murdered there for being the prison snitch.
Mm-hmm.
And they never said his name, but he said that he didn't like men and he was afraid of women. And my EVP was, he said his name was Mr. Roger, and I don't like men, and I will not talk.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So two basically complete sentences, and right before I got the EVP, or right when I was getting the EVP, no, it was the knock and then the EVP, I walked up the steps, and it was probably a 10 by 12 concrete room, and with a wooden door. And I got solid knocks on this wooden door. And it was just amazing. It was like, oh, right on. You know.
Got all excited.
I did, too. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to leave the room. And they're like, come on, let's go. But then right after that, I got that picture. So I guess I can't complain.
But, no, I can't.
You know. But I'll have to find it and send it your way. I'll look here tonight. And I'll Skype it over or email it over to you. I'll email it over to you. But, yeah, that being said, all right, I need to ask this, and I asked the last time you were here. What's going on with the musical score stuff?
Oh, it's going, man. It's going.
Yeah.
I'm actually currently in the process of doing some new music for Series 2 and some new videos that we are working on.
Cool.
You know, I'm trying to take a different approach as far as the composing is concerned. I'm going to go with a little more of a percussion aspect. I'm going to bring in a lot of the more... Egyptian, Roman, older type of tribal sound into some of our work.
Nice.
And it's been challenging thus far, and it's just you know, a great hobby of mine, and I can't wait till it's finished and I can release it out there with the videos we'll be putting out in the coming months.
Definitely. And
cool.
If you get a chance and you want to fire some more over to me, man, I'll take as many as you got, and I'll incorporate them and put them out in
rotation.
That's
what's it. Can we play them?
Yeah. Well, I've got one...
I know we got that one.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's looking for it right now.
How'd you know?
Well,
see,
okay, which file did I put that in? Oh, God, wait a minute.
Let me explain.
Let me look over here.
There's some changes going around with the radio production stuff. And so I'm moving files here and I'm moving files there. And this is a Remnants of October.
Mm-hmm.
That he sent over, that Brandon sent over to me, and you know, it's rocking. I've used it for a couple of commercials that air on ASPRN. So, but yeah, I mean, we can play it if you guys want to.
Yeah,
Sure, okay, we're going to play it. So you guys stick around, check us out. We'll be right back. You guys are with Midwest Paratalk Radio here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Brandon Alvis joining us tonight. And right on.
And Brandon just wrote that music you just heard.
That is right.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that's like the intro to a gothic movie. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here thinking about castles and lightning flashing and, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So, all right, Brandon, why don't you give us your websites?
Yeah, you can reach everything that's related to APRA at apraparanormal.com.
All right. You got any MySpaces or Facebooks that you want to put out there?
Yeah, we do have a MySpace, myspace.com/apraparanormal. And Facebook, we do have a fan page. You can reach that off of my page. I believe it's facebook.com/Brandon Alvis.
Nice.
Yeah, I was there today. That's where I saw those pictures, and she does such good work.
Right. All right, you guys.
Well, I love black and white photography. She does that too.
I'll tell you guys what. Go out, check it, apraparanormal.com. Check out Brandon and his crew, and you know, watch the videos, listen to the EVPs, because I'm going to tell you what. I mean, every time I listen to them, it's just mind-blowing. You guys do a great job at what you do, and, you know, it's a pleasure to be able to call you friend. And would love to have you back on with Midwest Prayer Talk Radio when you got stuff coming up and when you're going to come out here and you know, maybe we can hook up, do a live broadcast. And
that'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be very cool. I would enjoy that.
Thank you, guys. You know, it's always a pleasure coming on. And, you know, can't thank you guys enough.
All right, buddy. Well, we will.
No problem here.
Yeah, we will be in touch. And, like, hopefully maybe we can figure something up and maybe get together. So, all right, buddy. You take care now.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Sounds like a plan.
All right, see you, buddy.
Okay, bye-bye, Brandon.
Bye. Brandon Alves from APRA Paranormal joining us on Midwest Prayer Talk Radio tonight. And, yeah, I mean, I think it would be really cool to be able to work with these guys, you know, at least one time, you know.
You know what? He gives me hope. He gives me hope for the future of the paranormal investigator.
Definitely.
He's so young and he's so
smart. And that's the thing. I mean,
he's so logical and he's so scientific and but yet he's spiritual, you know.
Yeah, he's a young kid.
That's the group, you know.
He is a young guy, and you know, he's got a lot of stuff to do in the paranormal, and you know, it's all going to be good. So. That's what I say.
Yeah, you don't hear too much about him anymore, I'll tell you.
Very nice guy.
Yeah. Nice. He's fun to talk to, and he gets so pumped up for the radio shows. And be looking to ASPRN. We still need to work out the logistics of APRA Paranormal Radio. He will be coming over to the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network with his crew.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's in the works.
Oh, that would just be awesome.
Yeah, it's in the works, and we both kind of got busy and haven't had time to hook up
and
get it squared away.
I know.
So, Brandon, we'll be talking, buddy. He's out there in the chat room. It is always a pleasure. So, that being said, it's about 15:15, and everybody's got to work in the morning except for
Jody.
Yeah. So.
Wait a minute. I've got an 11-year-old here going, did they call yet? You know, you don't want to go to school in the morning. So, yeah, I'll be working in the morning if they don't call.
She's a mom.
Right. Well, you know, that is work. And, you know, it's a shame she doesn't get paid a little bit more for it.
I know. I agree with that.
You know? Honestly. I mean,
I know.
Being a mom.
You take it up with my husband.
You know.
Don't even.
What?
Big Daddy. He takes care of business.
Sure, just knock me down. Sure.
You guys are right.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
All right. So, you know, out of beer, out of here, what do you say?
Okay.
Sounds like it.
So, it's
thanks,
time.
Everybody, for listening.
Definitely. Yeah, remember, thanks. Check out the. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead, bud.
No, I said thanks.
Oh, thanks.
That's all I'd say. You're welcome. Yeah, you're supposed to say you're welcome, Greg. You're welcome.
I was just going to say, remember, you can check the three of us out here on Midwest Prayer Talk Radio on the archive at MidwestParaTalkRadio.com. And check out the other cool episodes that we have posted out there. We've got quite a few. So, again, thank you to everybody that checks out the pod page, the archive page. You know, you guys make it happen, and you guys live in the chat room. You know, without the fans, it wouldn't be anything to do but stay here and talk to ourselves. And, well, we do
that all
the time.
We just have to talk to each other all the time, and that would just suck.
Yeah, we do. What?
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
Huh? What?
Holy shite. All right, you guys. Great show, and I'll be talking to both of you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Nighty night, everybody.
Night. Bye-bye.
This has been another edition of Midwest Paratalk Radio, brought to you by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Midwest Paratalk Radio is a ParaQuest production. Remember to catch us every Thursday night at 10 Eastern here at ASPRN.com.